This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the effervescent, always entertaining Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome to hour number 2 of the big broadcast. It is Wednesday, November 13th, 2024. It is...
Why didn't he jump in the same hole in the windows before? I don't know.
Well, not now. He's kicking out windows. He's gonna hurt his foot. And then, you know, that leads to camel toe. And nobody wants that. You understand? You have to be very careful. great to have Trigvi Olsen with us, wasn't it?
Yes, definitely.
I miss him when he's not here. He took a week off, well-deserved week off. And nice to have Trigvi. Always a great perspective. And I look forward to having him on the program for long to come, hopefully. And by the way, tomorrow our two-year anniversary.
Indeed, it is
on the show
November 14th.
I'm looking forward to all kinds of dancers and pyrotechnics on the show tomorrow.
Was I supposed to book those?
No, it's camp. You know, 2 years gone by like that. So, we'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow. A little more entertaining things. I always hesitate to say that because some people are going to say that wasn't entertaining at all. But we hope to have a little more entertainment for you today and tomorrow as we move on here. And then who knows what's going to happen next. That's the attitude that I'm in right now. It's just day by day and sometimes hour by hour. And not to get too overwhelmed.
Kind of have to.
Right?
Because, you know, as we've been saying for these last 2 years and long before that, truth has truly become stranger than fiction.
Yes.
And the stuff that actually happens in the news is weirder than anything that we could come up with. So you got to be ready to.
That's why I always enjoy Peter Rapine being on the program. Always a pleasure. Coming up Friday, Brady Ewing's going to be here talking some Badger sports. Badgers have a big game on Saturday night. As we just heard from sports reporter Mike Clemens, at some point during the game, the football game, they're going to honor and recognize the 2014-15 Badger team that went to the Final Four and finished second, no thanks to the officiating of that championship game to Duke. But Bo Ryan and many of the members of the 2014-2015 Final Four Wisconsin basketball team will be honored at the Badger football game. The Badgers take on number one undefeated, the Oregon Ducks. You can hear the pregame show starting at 4:30. Right here with Mike Keller across the Badger Sports Radio Network and on select stations on Civic Media. The game kicks off about 6:30 right here on the Civic Media app. You can download it on your Apple or Android device. It's free. It takes less than a minute. It's what Gail King calls a deal. All you got to do is just open up that Civic Media app, go down to one of our selected stations, such as WRCE in Richland Center, that carry that game. Kickoff at 6:30. Matt LaPay and Mark Tauscher, on the call. You can hear it for free. Cannot beat it with a stick, as Ken Lewis is fond of saying. So that's coming up on Saturday, and Brady will be here on Friday to preview that game with us. It's 9 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Here we go. This or that, this or that. Then, of course, the choice is yours. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. Time once again for What's Worse. No prizes given out, no money to give to you, only your opportunity to have your voice heard across statewide and worldwide radio and interwebs and streaming. All right, here we go. What's Worse? Are you did you celebrate the holidays?
Yeah.
Christmas holidays?
Yeah, Christmas, yeah.
Yeah. Are you a decoration type of person?
I want to be more of one. I have some decorations, but I pretty much just leave up a bunch of frogs year round at this
frogs.
Point. I have a lot of frog decorations.
2 years and I have not heard this once from you. You have frog decorations.
Yeah, I have a lot of frogs. I do have some Christmas frogs though, so those will come out.
Really?
Just a couple, like, you know, Santa hat or whatever.
Frog? I did not know this. All right. This is good to know. Zomers has a large frog collection. I want to hear more about this. All right. Right now, though, time for what's worse. It tis the season, as they say. Now, some people are really, they start early. The stores, of course, get earlier every year. Well, now, before Halloween, you go in and you see, like, Halloween costumes next to artificial Christmas trees and lights already. And so some people put their decorations up early. Other people leave them up late. Late. So here's the question. What's worse? Christmas decorations going up before Halloween or Christmas decorations being left up until Valentine's Day? What's worse? Christmas decorations going up before Halloween or Christmas decorations being left up until Valentine's Day? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You could also text us on the Civic Media app. What's worse? Are you one of these people? I shouldn't say it like that. Clearly, I have feelings about this. Are you someone who puts up Christmas decorations prior to Halloween? Or are you one of those people that leaves it up until Valentine's Day? Or are you the person that does it, puts it up before Halloween and takes it down after Valentine's? But what's worse? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842.
Tom and Jackson texts in that before Halloween is worse.
Before Halloween, listening on WMDX. Before Halloween. You know, I'm kind of a traditionalist when it comes to, I tend to say I don't like to have Christmas decorations up before Black Friday because I'm a Thanksgiving kind of guy. I enjoy Thanksgiving. I've started in the last few years enjoying Thanksgiving as much as, I don't want to say more. I really do like Christmas. But I like Thanksgiving because it's centered on a meal and family and chilling out and a little football.
Also, the fall decorations are really good. And
yes,
if you skip out on those, you're missing a whole color palette of great, you know, earth tones.
And I'm not saying, I get all the, controversy. There are feelings about, you know, Thanksgiving and pilgrims and Native Americans and all that.
Yeah. So the type of decorations matter. It's like, fall celebration decorations.
But I think it's fine because to me, Thanksgiving is about setting aside a day to simply give thanks. And if you're a person of faith, maybe that's a faith-related thing. If you're not, that's fine. Maybe it's just thanks to the universe. Thanks for my friends. Friendsgivings are big. I think that's fantastic. Getting around to celebrate your friendships and your relationships, I think is really important. And to me, Thanksgiving focuses on that singularly. More so, Christmas kind of gets the whole gift. Some people do the huge gift-giving thing, which I find stressful. And there's the trees and there's the trimmings. Don't get me wrong. I love Christmas. But it seems to me that Thanksgiving in my life, at least, has gotten more simplistic in that it's just a time to be thankful and chill out. So for that reason, I don't like to see the Christmas decorations up until I celebrate Thanksgiving. And then on Black Friday, I'm ready to go.
That's where I'm at, too. And also, then you can make it a fun family tradition where Thursday you have Thanksgiving and then everybody who's still in town helps decorate.
Right. Exactly. What's worse? Christmas decorations going up before Halloween or Christmas decorations left up until Valentine's Day? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Andrew in Maine says, what's worse is acknowledging Christmas exists before Halloween or December 1st, in my personal opinion. We took down our tree this year in March because we moved. So Andrew is big on not going before December 1st, but he's fine leaving it up perhaps until Easter.
It seems like there were some, you know, extenuating circumstances.
Yes. Matt Middleton says, before Halloween is worse. It gives me gifting anxiety. Well, there, I can see that, right? For people who really are into that. Tony, watching on YouTube, says, definitely worse leaving them up forever. If you leave them up, you're being lazy. If you put them up early, you're just excited for your favorite holiday. All right, well, I can see that. I can see that. I have been known, because of my wacky schedule sometimes, to go pretty close to Valentine's Day on the back end.
I can't say my family's been different in that. There's been years where we put up the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve, and then it stayed up for like 2 months.
But if you're putting it up on Christmas Eve, that's really, I mean, the length of time is about the same.
Right. As if it ended up being, you know, a fun family thing, putting it up on Christmas Eve. It was cutting it a little close, but, you know.
Here's something off of Southern Living. Why it's never too early to put up your Christmas tree.
Never?
Never. It says, while we're unabashed Christmas decorating fanatics, we have a countdown for the perfect time to set up your Christmas tree. We realize that holiday decorators generally fall into two decorating time frames, the pregame Christmas decorators and the after-party decorators. Since then, there were so many ways to deck the halls that our editors suggested for when to put up your Christmas tree. The earliest time to set up the trees, Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, is the earliest you should set up a Christmas tree or decorate for Christmas, according to Southern Living, who I'm sure we could all agree should be the actual voice of decorating.
Yeah, what a fine publication.
Y'all don't put up your Christmas tree until Black Friday. I don't want that. I'll get my gun out and shoot you if you do. That's a ridiculously terrible take on fine people in the South. I'm a little punchy today, if you can't tell. All right, what else we got here? Matt Middleton saying before Halloween, the gift of giving anxiety. Jim, listening on WGBW in Green Bay, Jim out of Appleton says, what's this Valentine's Day? They stay up until Easter. It's much worse before Halloween. They go up around Thanksgiving. All right, so they're like me around Thanksgiving. And then he's in favor of leaving up until, for me a little bit, I like to, like, here's what annoys me. You want to know what grinds my gears, to put it into a Tuesday context? The people who are like, it's the 26th, take everything down.
Oh, yeah, that's annoying. Come on, live in it a little, enjoy it.
Like I don't like that at all. Because, and here's what, and people who know me, I haven't had a chance recently because, turns out I'm working now. Or at least working more during the middle of the day. Grew up watching a lot of As the World Turns, and then also Young and the Restless. And the Young and the Restless, they always, about this time of year now, they'll start talking about the holidays. Well, I don't know what we're going to do for the holidays. The holidays start on deer hunting opening weekend and go until January 2nd. That's the holidays. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
The falling leaves drift by the window. The autumn leaves of red and gold. I see your lips.
Welcome back to the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio. Could have been one of those songs with our great former colleague at WRCO, reminiscing with Ray. Ray Schrader played a lot of this big band, and was that? Let me guess. Let me see. It's not Sinatra, right? It's not Sinatra.
Correct.
Was it Nat King Cole?
That's it.
There you go. Nat King Cole.
Autumn leaves. Yeah. Yes. Again, if you skip right to the holidays before Halloween, you miss great autumn songs like that.
The great Nat King Cole, I should say. Wonderful musician, wonderful writer, singer, songwriter, Nat King Cole. Autumn leaves. So you got to have your autumn holidays. Talking about what's worse, Christmas decorations going up before Halloween or Christmas decorations left up until Valentine's Day. Andrew in Maine, watching on YouTube, I believe, or somewhere, WAUK. Andrew watches a lot of places. We appreciate that. He says, I have heard of, via social media, people who take down their tree and decorations on December 25th. That just seems crazy, unless you put up a live tree before Halloween. Yeah, what's up with that? What's up with that?
What's up with that? Yeah, no, I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me, unless you have a real, like I said, if you have a live tree and it's starting to shed everywhere, sure. Otherwise, enjoy the day, relax, don't worry about packing stuff up and putting it away.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, taking down the tree on Christmas, that just kind of like defeats, unless you're like trying to catch a plane or something, I don't know.
I also have another secret that's not really a secret for everybody out there. Decorating is a chore, you don't have to do it.
That's true, you can make it easier. Don't stress yourself.
In my family, we used to have a lot of decorations because my mom likes to collect stuff like that. And it's a lot of beautiful pieces.
Yeah. It's a lot of work sometimes.
But it's a lot of work. Right. And we wouldn't, you know, our schedule for the rest of the family would often conflict with her. So she didn't have help, or when we could help, she wasn't available and we didn't know where stuff was. It was a whole thing. It caused a lot of fights in the family, and eventually we're like, you know what? Not like huge fights.
Was this like professional wrestling at the Zahmer's household?
Just arguments. Like, why aren't you guys helping me
with this? Frogs being thrown around.
Why isn't this getting done? Oh, because I was decorating. So and so was doing this or whatever. But you know, especially with, we have several chronically ill people in the family. Mm-hmm. Just simplify it as much as you can. We ended up getting a tree that was smaller and has lights built in. No more having to string around lights and get that all figured out. Fewer ornaments because the tree is smaller. Just simplify it. If it's too much for you and you still want to do it and have some fun and make it a family thing, do that. But you don't have to go crazy.
No, very true. I still enjoy, we get a live tree for mom yet every year. And what I enjoy about putting up the live tree at mom's house is putting it up barehanded. And then she puts out a bowl of mini marshmallows and Rice Krispies. And then I just dip my hand in the Rice Krispies and the marshmallows and lick it off with a pine sap. And it's a great holiday treat.
That sounds tasty.
It's fantastic. What's worse, Christmas decorations going up before Halloween or Christmas decorations left up until Valentine's Day? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Here now from today, this is a better source than Southern Living. Today, the Today Show, Al Roker, everybody knows Al, says, go ahead, put up the Christmas lights now. Science says it'll make you feel happier. It says if you're itching to break out the Christmas lights before you've even carved the Thanksgiving turkey, go ahead. Psychologists say it will make you happier. The British website, Unilad, got us all thinking about trimming the tree a few weeks early. In 2017, Unilad reported that people who decorate earlier are simply tapping into the excitement of the holidays before the rest of us, which makes them happier.
That goes with what Tony said earlier, saying if you put it up early, you're just getting into your favorite part of the year sooner.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And we could all use a little bit of happiness this year. Psychologist Deborah Sorani confirmed today that is true. Decorating can definitely lift your mood. She says, quote, it does create that neurological shift that can produce happiness, she said. I think anything that takes us out of our normal habitation, the normal day and ins and outs, signals our senses, and then our senses measure if it's pleasing or not. Christmas decorating will spike dopamine, a feel-good hormone, she says. But what is it exactly about Christmas decorations that triggers those happy hormones? For starters, the bright lights and colors. This is big for me. It's called chromotherapy or color therapy, which is thought to increase energy levels and boost happiness, might be a play. Or maybe it's just the ambiance in general. Who can resist smiling at the sight of a Christmas tree of it being lit for the first time? There's even a new scientific field devoted to understanding how our designated environments affect our behavior called neuroarchitecture. As Carson once said, I did not know that.
Makes sense.
For me, it's a lot about the lights because I'm very light sensitive in terms of my mood. And now that the sun's setting at 4:30, 4:45, like once it gets dark, I'm kind of like, ugh, I'm done.
It affects me a lot, too.
I'm done.
Especially because my vision is so terrible, including like my dark vision is worse than other people's. Mm-hmm. And some of my friends really like their houses to be nice and dark and no overhead lighting. And
right.
If you can't see, what's the point?
What's the point?
But they can probably see fine. So that's
fair. I mean, I like the Christmas because I like the light, I like the candles. I like the more light for me, I think it makes me feel happier. So I agree with this article today. And you know what? After the week we've all had, go ahead, put them up. If it makes you feel better, if it makes you happier, God love you. Enjoy your decorations.
Michaela in West Bend says, decorations going up before Halloween is definitely worse. In January, you need that joy to the point of those lights. Also, she collects frogs. So
I'm glad
I'm not the only one.
Oh, very good. I'm not sure who this is. Says, Don leaves his up all year. In New Orleans, we saw it decorated for Mardi Gras. On Easter, we saw it with rabbits and eggs. And the fourth, flags. Decorate for every occasion. I do know people have done this.
That's a way to do it.
I'll say her name. She is a lovely person that has departed us way too soon. But a woman named Carletta Heidi, for those listening back at WRCE in Richland Center, she used to have a whole room of Christmas trees that she left up all year. And as the person said, would decorate them according to the seasons. Well, whether you're enjoying autumn leaves or what have you, enjoy your afternoon. We'll be back with a little bit more after this. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on Wednesday, November 13th. Summer's on the board. Glad to have you along with us here. A little breaking news for you. The Republicans will have unfettered power coming into Washington as the House Republicans have just gained their 218th seat to retain control of the House of Representatives. The GOP's control of both chambers of Congress means that President-elect Trump will have a path to enact an agenda that could profoundly change America, including sweeping tax cuts, hardline immigration enforcement, and a transformation of domestic and foreign policy, according to CNN. Republicans' victory in the House also represents a triumph for Speaker Mike Johnson, who struggled to control his resistive conference over the last 2 years. The House GOP often plunged into chaos and infighting, some of which was exacerbated by Trump's interventions and the behavior of some of his most outspoken supporters. The narrow majority meant that any one member could decide to stage a revolt or to break with leadership for personal political gain. The question now will be how large next year's House majority becomes and whether the GOP can widen the margin of a handful of seats that has made managing the conference so complex for Johnson. In fact, the fact that Trump will be in the White House and the GOP in full control could make unity easier next year. However, Trump is already poaching from the incoming majority for his cabinet picks. And even with those members hailing from safe Republican seats, their likely vacancies could last long enough to cause headaches for Johnson. It's a good perspective, actually. So now we know that for certainty, Republicans will control the House of Representatives by at least a one-seat majority, and it could be a few more. Right now, the current standing is 218 for Republicans, 208 for Democrats. 218 is the magic number, which Republicans have now reached for control. In the Senate, 52 Republicans to 47 Democrats. And of course, Trump will control the executive branch. But Trump is already grabbing a couple of people, politically speaking, I guess you have to make that clear these days, from the U.S. House. So what you could see, depending upon how many more people he taps for appointments, this could cause real headaches for Mike Johnson in the House of Representatives, because you could get theoretically down to a point where you have a 1-2 seat majority, even, you know, an even number with the speaker making, you know, the tie vote potentially decision. But again, that empowers those on the far right within the Republican caucus to demand, like Matt Gaetz and others, who would say, look, this is what I want. If I don't get it, I'm calling for a leadership vote. So oddly enough, the second best choice, for some of us at least, who care about democracy and the Constitution, ideally it would have been nice to have Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader, in the chair. But having a really, really, really close 1- or 2-seat margin for Republicans is the second best thing you could get, because it may, keyword may, keep them from doing the most extreme things. We don't know. And as we said earlier on the program with Trigvi Olson, having Thune from South Dakota, John Thune, as the new Senate majority leader in the House of Representatives is certainly better than having Rick Scott from Florida there. Scott was all about the recess appointments. And what the dangerous part was with these recess appointments is what Trigvi basically touched on earlier, is that you don't have the hearing process. You don't go through the normal processes where the opposition party, in this case the Democrats in the United States Senate, get to ask the nominees pointed questions on the record. So at the very least, it would appear that having John Thune as the Republican majority leader in the United States Senate will ensure that these normalcies or normal processes in the U.S. Senate will continue. At least nominees will have to answer questions from the opposition party. So as Trigvi said, that's one glimmer of hope for the day, having John Thune as the Republican majority leader in the U.S. Senate. And aside from having Hakeem Jeffries as speaker, the next best thing would be a close majority in the House. I touched on this a little bit last hour. I want to make sure we get this in. By the way, here's off the text line. Wes in Middleton says, on listening on WMDX, there you go. America is gonna get a taste of pure MAGA. Let's see how we like it. Yeah, I mean, that's what I've been saying. On last Tuesday, a week from yesterday, on the election day, November 5th, some people decided to mess around, and now we get into the find out phase. Andrew Main says it allows this on the center right to work with Dems and Jeffries to stall.
I think those on the center right is what it was supposed to be.
Oh, I'm sorry. And it allows those, you're right, thank you, on the center right to at least work with Dems and Jeffries to stall extreme bills like the last 2 years. Agreed. Agreed to that, Andrew. And we've seen at least moments over the last couple of years where Jeffries and Johnson meet in private to try to work some things out. Continuing resolution bill is one of them. So let's hold on to that for a little bit, shall we? Want to just again go back to this nomination by Pete Hegseth. Pete Hegseth, the nominee by Donald Trump to be the new Secretary of Defense. As our friend Matt Flynn might say, this guy is bad news, in my opinion. And Zomers, I think I sent you the clip of this is Hegseth on Fox News on January 6th, 2021. Here is what Hegseth had to say leading up to Trump's speech on January 6th.
What will he say from the podium today? We'll find out on the Fox News channel. His two sons will also be speaking. Dan Covino speaking, Katrina Pearson, Mo Brooks, who's been a part of the objection as well on Capitol Hill, as well as organizers for Women for America First. And guys, right now the crowd is starting to walk in. They just opened the doors. You're actually going to look at the first few folks that will be coming in. They've been waiting for hours. Morning for hours. And, you know, the chants that are coming time and time again are stop the steal, stop the steal. And we saw it coming out of Georgia, that 70% of Republicans who believe that the election in November was not legitimate, that it was stolen, that may have had an effect on Georgia, but no doubt it has an effect on the hearts of this city right now, of Americans. I have friends who've texted me who are not very political saying, I'm coming to Washington, D.C. today because I can't handle what's happening in my country. I think it's not an understatement to say we're in a constitutional tinderbox right now with people on both sides believing there's legitimacy and illegitimacy based on things they feel in their heart and love of their country. Donald Trump will articulate a lot of that today from the stage. He'll have thousands of supporters here and dozens of senators and congressmen on the House of Representatives objecting with that long debate that will go on and on. Will the rally go on longer and longer? We'll see. There were arrests last night. Will there be contention tonight? That's a possibility as well.
Pete Hegseth on Fox News ginning people up on January 6th. And he is the nominee to be the Secretary of Defense. Mess around and find out. Interesting. I sent you another clip, Zalmers. Tell me when you got that one. I just sent it over to you. You want to know the kind of guy this Pete Hegseth is. Here he is talking on Fox News about the dude doesn't wash his hands.
I don't think I've washed my hands for 10 years. Really, I don't really wash my hands ever.
Help me.
No, I inoculate myself. It's just not germs, a real thing. I can't see them, therefore they're not real.
So you're becoming immune to all of the
exactly.
Bacteria.
Exactly, I can't get sick.
Now for those of us who are guys, we all know a guy like this.
Yeah.
Who you stand next to him in the urinal, and you go to the sink to wash your hands, and he just goes out. I mean, this is the kind of dude he is.
In college, I got the whiteboard in the bathroom, which was supposed to be for maintenance requests. I got it taken away because there were people. The bathroom was in the middle of the floor, and the rooms were around it. And you could hear people would go in there, do their business, and then leave without washing their hands. So I started writing, you may be okay with touching your junk and then going and eating, but I'm not okay with touching your junk and then eating. Wash your freaking hands.
Wait. You're touching their junk or no?
Well, because they're touching everything else without washing their hands.
They
would be like, no, it takes too long. And I wrote, flushing the toilet while washing out and washing your hands do not take too long. Like, especially, they also wouldn't flush the toilet. I forgot about that part. And it's like, are you kidding me? They started getting real angry, and I got angrier, and then the whiteboard got taken away. All because these people don't believe in germs they can't see, and they think it takes too long to flush the toilet.
That's what's grinding Zomer's gears today.
I hate people like this.
He put a nickel in him. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Wisco Paul, thanks for holding on, Wisco. What say you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Todd. That's a little concerning there. That's why I just called. That's going to be the new defense chief. I don't know. I knew it might get bad, but that's pretty amazing. And you know, Todd, a long, long time ago, you just – and, you know, I don't know how it could be any worse. You spent $1 billion – I mean, I think Kamala was okay, but, you know, I was a little late in the game to change. Of course, that's hindsight. But so I just want to call, and I'm a little freaked out that this guy's going to run defense. So have a nice day.
Thanks. I appreciate it, Wisco. Yeah, I'm on the serious side. And again, time will tell. But it appears reports are now that Trump is moving ahead with this guy, Pete Hegseth, on what Project 2025 told us, which is they plan to ask people on the Joint Chiefs of Staff, military officials, to take a loyalty pledge, not to the Constitution, not to the country, but to Trump. And they're looking at completely overhauling the Joint Chiefs of Staff. 855-752-4842. Want to get quickly to the phone lines again. Joe, listening in Madison, BMW MDX. Joe, always a pleasure. What say you?
Boy, I think you should be running these clips again and again. This is fascinating. On January 6th, a coup is being assembled against our government, and he describes it as, quote, the objection, end quote. The objection. Mm-hmm. It was a coup. It was overturning the will of the people. My vote, throw it away. Your vote, throw it away. After 60 court cases, I mean, they had their time to show that their cause was just and righteous. It didn't make the cut. And now he describes it as the objection rather than the coup. And he said they're gathered here, as I wrote it down, it was based on what they feel in their heart is true and their love for their country. Mm-hmm. What they feel in their heart, how about the facts? I mean, I feel all sorts of things too, but I check it out to make sure I am at least somewhat close to reality. You know, we have to be based on facts, not the feeling in our heart. Now, come on, that's for St. Valentine's Day. That's not for times in government. And I also find it amazing and fascinating and awful that this idea of a loyalty pledge for, I believe it's generals and flag officers. Mm-hmm. Matt Flynn has talked about this before. People who get to that level have given their life to the military. Think of the amount of time that folks who get to that level in the military have spent away from their family. Mm-hmm. And that's the decision that they have made because they do love their country and have a sense that this is what they need to give. And now a board that describes itself as, quote, the warrior board is going to decide whether these generals and flag officers are warrior enough if they're loyal to Trump, not the Constitution. We ought to be real worried about this, because someone at that level who has been replaced, and then the person who comes in behind them, who is his, what he has is on his plus side is that he is loyal to Trump. That's insane. That is just, America is no longer America if that's the case. And it's really, really worrisome.
Couldn't agree more, Joe. Thank you very much. Up against the clock here. This guy wrote a book called The War on Warriors. Tell you a little bit what's in it when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allbaugh Show for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock on the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which station you listen to, a sports and weather update, and then the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 2 until 4, followed by Dominic Selvia from 4 until 6, and then at 6 o'clock is Nightlight with Pete Swaba. Stay tuned for all those shows. Talking about the nominee by Donald Trump to be the Defense Secretary, Pete Hegseth. Yes, a veteran, not a general, but a veteran. Most recently, for the last 2 or 3 years, a Fox News host. And now he is the secretary for, or nominee for Secretary of Defense. And to Dahmer's point there, we talked about this clip we played earlier. It's serious, but I mean, it's just weird. Again, the fact that he brags on Fox News that when he uses the restroom, he claims he hasn't washed his hands in 10 years.
And then everybody around him, including, right, like, you can hear people groaning offset. Right. Like, right, people on the production team were grossed out. And his co-hosts are like, get me out of here.
This is the personal pet peeve of Zomers. Because if you're a guy, we all know guys like this. We've been around it in wherever setting, and you're in a restroom, and a dude's next to you at the urinal, and he just zips up and out the door.
I will publicly shame them.
But more concerning for this part is the fact that Hegseth was there in his role in Fox News on January 6th, prior to Trump's speech, in which a bipartisan commission of Congress found that Trump, my word, liable for ginning up the January 6th insurrection. And Hegseth was there and ginning that up and talking about it and talking about election conspiracy theories that have been proven not true. He wrote a book, Hank Seth did, called The War on Warriors. The War on Warriors. A subtitle is Behind the Betrayal of the Men Who Keep Us Free. Steve Bannon, not Bannon, but Bannon, B-E-Y-N-O-N, Steve Bannon. He's a national security reporter for military.com, an Afghan vet, previously at Politico and Stars and Stripes, the official publication for our nation's military. He wrote this today. Says, here's a few things about Hegseth, Trump's pick for Secretary of Defense. First, he's way against women serving in combat, saying in a recent podcast, quote, I'm straight up just saying we should not have women in combat roles, unquote. Rolling back women's roles in service is a top concern among most Army officials I've talked to recently, he says. A proxy for this attack in recent years has been the service's fitness test and the fight over having a gendered standard. And then goes on to talk about this. I don't quite understand it. A certain tattoo that he has on his arm, this anti-Muslim and anti-Jew. It's been known to have people that were at Charlottesville had that. I don't quite understand that part of it, but I'm sure it's significant. And saying Steve Bannon says of this new defense secretary nominee, quote, he's a big cultural warrior. Writing in his book that I talked about here, this book, you look it up yourself, by Pete Hegseth, the book, The War on Warriors, says in this book, quote, do we want woke, diverse, quote unquote, recruits that the Biden administration is curating to be the ones with the guns, unquote. Meanwhile, the Army has had to lean on minorities to fill its ranks. Black recruits, for example, make up about 24% of recent new recruits compared to making up 14% of the general population. Hispanics make up 24% of recruits. Women's recruitment has been steady for decades. You may have heard of the quote-unquote recruiting crisis, but that's entirely attributed to men, specifically white men. And it's a decade trend that has more to do with the identity politics. Bannon writes, it's totally anecdotal, but I've talked to three mid to senior level officials in the military who all say a notable chunk of their team are in the LGBTQ community. In short, the math doesn't math. If you want a giant army and you're only interested in recruiting straight white troops. Finally, he says, for recruitment, the Army has had to rely on future soldier prep courses, which takes applicants who are short on body fat or academic standards and gets them up to snuff. We have had on this program, and I'm going to be very, very careful here. I am not here to put words into Brigadier General May's mouth at all. This is Todd's opinion based on conversations and interviews that we've had with General May, who leads our National Guard in Wisconsin. He has come on this program. He has brought female officers and pilots from the National Guard in this program and talked about the importance of women recruits and women who are serving in our Wisconsin National Guard and Air National Guard. We have talked about with him about the importance and the significance of diversity in the recruitment process. So again, that comes from Brigadier General David May. That's what he has told us. As a leading military officer, again, making clear what I'm about to say is my opinion. I am not saying this is his opinion. This is my opinion. Based on what I've heard from a decorated and important leader in Wisconsin, what Hegseth is saying does not add up to what we in the or what the folks in the Wisconsin Air National Guard and National Guard are doing. These are the sorts of things we have to suss out, to point out. And the good news is with John Thune in the Senate leadership role now, at least there will be hearings to bring this sort of thing out. Hang on to that bit of hope for now. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. We'll see you tomorrow on a Thursday edition. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. Keep banging on, and your day will come. Keep banging on your drum.
The
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.